The circuit-riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
Good evening and welcome to Living by the Sword with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers, broadcasting from Mexico's cartel country. There is a mountain of news in the Americas and around the world, in Haiti, the elections in Guatemala, the Muerte Cruzada in Ecuador, the honored guest of Salvadorian President Nayib Bukele. There's no telling how much I'm going to get to because I want to cover this first. The Spanish bootleg of The Sound of Freedom has arrived in Latin America. As much as I have commented already on that film, now I have actually seen it, and I'm going to back off of some of my assertions and change my assertions, and there may even be some upcoming apologies. So, special message about and for Tim Ballard, Jim Caviezel, and above all, director Eduardo Verástegui, a Tamaulipeco from the north of Mexico, who is going to see Nayib Bukele very soon. Donald John Trump, after screening his film, introduced Eduardo Verástegui as the man who may be the next president of Mexico. All that's coming up, but first a tune by my favorite recently rescued trafficking victim, Britney Spears, along with Will.i.am. It's a little explicit, but I'm fighting a religious spirit. Stay with me here.
Mind your business, bitch. Where she at? 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 There she go, there she go, there she go, there she go, there she go. What she do, what she do, what she do, what she do, what she do.
Too much watching, watching, watching me, watching, watching you.
Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be. Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be.
Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be.
Mind your business. Mind your business, bitch. Mind your business, bitch. Mind your business, bitch. Mind your business, bitch.
Too much looky, looky, get up off me, too much watchy wah. Hands up in the cookie jar, they watching me, they watching y'all. They got eyes up in the sky, so pose for that camera. They follow me, follow me, follow me, follow, follow me.
Uptown, downtown, everywhere I turn around. Hollywood, London, snap, snap is the sound. Paparazzi shot me, I am the economy.
Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow, follow me.
Where she at, where she at, where she at, where she at, where she at? There she go, there she go, there she go, there she go, there she go. What she do, what she do, what she do, what she do, what she do.
Too much watching, watching, watching me, watching, watching you.
Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be. Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be.
Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be.
Mind your business. Mind your business, bitch.
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 Too much looky looky, I'm so sick of all these looky loos. Everybody looking at me like I was the breaking news. Police got a sting, watching every step I take, every move I make, every breath I take.
If they don't get up out my face, I'll send the dogs out. 5 seconds and then the dogs come out. You know what happens when the dogs come out. None of your business. Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be. Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be.
Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be.
Mind your business.
Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be. Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be. Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be.
Mind your business.
Bitch.
normally at this time we would dive right into our first Bible verse, and I have got it here recorded, and my trigger finger, you know how itchy it is. It's right on the mouse. I'm ready to cue it up, but I want to ease into a very delicate subject, and a subject that's very dear and close to my heart. I'll start with this. Paul Hutchinson finally broke the ice. I believe it was on his interview with Mike Adams on the Health Ranger Report. I'm looking for the recording. It may have disappeared. If I can find it, I will play for you what he said. Otherwise, I'll just have to give you the synopsis. A little background. Paul Hutchinson is the financier not only behind the movie The Sound of Freedom, but also behind the Cartagena bust operation that's detailed in that film. And very bravely, Paul went in himself. He played himself. He put his own identity on the line to catch these bad guys. And it is the character of Paul Hutchinson with a Latin twist that is played by director Eduardo Verástegui in The Sound of Freedom. I found it. I'm gonna let Paul Hutchinson tell you in his own words where this trafficking problem comes from. If you want to hear the interview in its entirety, it is available on naturalnews.com. It is the situation update from July 17th, 2023, but you have to find the full-length version. And I can only find it on the MP3 audio. In the video interview, this section is omitted, and Paul Hutchinson's assertions were shocking even to the interview Mike Adams. Mike Adams, who often guest hosts for Alex Jones. There's no conspiracy too big for somebody like Mike Adams. He's a Christian journalist and broadcaster that I really like and really respect. But I gotta tell you, Paul Hutchinson is right, and this was shocking. It stunned even Mike Adams. Here it is.
For a long time, I pointed the finger at pornography.
Wait, Paul, wait. That's what Jim Caviezel said, that it's pornography. I'm going to summarize Jim Caviezel's words. The story is always the same with these offenders. When I was 12 years old, I found a Playboy magazine, and then it got more and more hardcore until I had to act out and find children. That's what Jim Caviezel said was the result of his extensive research into what makes a pedophile tick. And here Paul Hutchinson is telling us that it's not, that for a long time he was wrong to point his finger at pornography, that pornography... Now listen, this is Pastor Sam talking here. I don't encourage or condone the use or production of pornography. I've been very critical of admitted porn king Andrew Tate. Pornography in its tamest state is idolatry at least. And the earliest idols from around the world were pornographic. In Greece and in Rome, it had gotten so bad. Under the ashes of Vesuvius, it's nothing but phalluses. The GIs used to bring them home from World War II. There were phallic images like arrows going down the wall in Pompeii. Of course, the wrath of God fell on that city in the form of the ashes of Mount Vesuvius. Many Americans brought those pornographic idols home. They should not have done that. It's not appropriate for a Christian to have an idol in their house, and that would include pornographic images, whether ancient or modern. Isn't it interesting that even in Bible times, the word says that people kept idols hidden in a secret place? So let's go back to Paul Hutchinson, the guy who made this whole movie happen, as he removes what everyone has said is the cause of the pedophilic disease, the red herring, the scapegoat, pornography, and he takes that and sets it aside and says, this is not the cause, this is a symptom. There is another cause that's much more difficult to face. Here's Paul.
Then I stepped back and I thought, where is that coming from? Where is it coming from? Yet it's coming from this sexualization of in Hollywood and this desensitizing of us to all of this crap. And it's coming from generational trauma. Generational. We've got literally people listening to this program right now. One out of every four women who's listening right now was a victim of sexual abuse as a child. One out of four, that's a billion people on this planet. That's a lot bigger than the 10 million numbers of children that are being trafficked. A billion, right? For men, it's a little bit less. Roughly 20% of all men at some time in their life have been a victim. But even those, one-fourth of them, roughly 200 million men in the world, under the age of 10 years old.
Wow.
And most of them in their own homes. So you walk out on your front step and you look left and you look right. one out of every four of those homes is likely a dangerous place for children.
That's unreal.
You have to ask yourself, where is that coming? Because somebody doesn't just grow up and at 40, 50 years old decide, hey, you know, now I'm going to go down to Columbia and rape a child. No, chances are that person was already creating havoc in his or her own home or their own neighborhood. And
no kidding.
The best things that people can do is not just write a check to go funnel Navy SEALs down to go rescue these kids. It's we've got to start in our own homes. You've got to look around and realize that statistically, there's probably somebody in your family or somebody in your neighborhood that is dangerous to be around your children. And so learn how to feel and recognize that.
Wow. Are you hyperventilating? Mike Adams was, and he's cool as can be. He's cool on the microphone. He's even cool behind his gun. And coming from me, that's saying something. When people can handle their shooting iron and deadly force deliberately with calmness and precision, that means a lot to me. And Mike Adams is exactly that kind of guy. But when Paul drops these statistics on him, Mike is absolutely shocked that the incidence of child sexual abuse amongst females in America is 1 in 4, and amongst men is 1 in 5. I will add first that those statistics are conservative even in America, and second, that it's far worse in other parts of the world. Knowing that, I began this radio broadcast so that I could encourage in the Lord Jesus and in the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church of the firstborn, that those victims could wax strong in the fight and find healing in the Lord Jesus and not evolve into a monster, but rather fight to remove the monsters from your midst. Paul has more to say, but I think it's time for a musical interlude so we can cool off just a little bit more. And I'm going to go back to my favorite trafficked person of the week, Britney Spears. It's only been a year since she was released from her conservatorship. Her life was micromanaged, controlled, and surveilled every moment, even though she was nearly 40 years of age. The micromanagement of her life included her medical treatment. Vast quantities of psychiatric drugs were forced upon her, as was her intrauterine device. She wanted to have another child, but had to get legally free to manage her own medical affairs in order to remove that IUD. And hopefully conceive. Like The Sound of Freedom, many of her videos include indicators of sexual trauma-based mind control, like the monarch butterflies in her 2012 video with Will.i.am, Scream and Shout, a cry for help. Those butterflies also occur in The Sound of Freedom movie, in the original pedophile bust scene. His computer screen comes up and there are monarch butterflies fluttering. Prevalent themes a generation or two before that were Wizard of Oz and Alice in Wonderland programming, which we'll cover also. Britney has only released 2 songs since her conservatorship was ended by a judge in 2021. The latter of those just dropped this week and we played it at the opening of the show. Now that she's out from under surveillance, why is she telling the whole world to mind their business? And she doesn't like them watching her. I think Will.i.am knows what she's been through and that he's been a good friend to her by reaching out to her and doing this song with her. But the first one that she did after her conservatorship was with Elton John. He sang his famous song Goodbye Yellow Brick Road in 1973. I believe this song is about him trying to escape sexual trauma-based mind control and the resulting sexual deviancy in his life because of that. This may be Elton John's most famous song ever. Wikipedia says it's considered his magnum opus, and it's all about his dreams of escape from this world. And this was written 8 years before Britney was born. So when she got released from her conservatorship, the first person who called her and said, let's do a song, was Elton John. And this is it. The video was filmed in Mexico City and features the new Cablebus cable car system.
Running fast along the sand.
Count the headlights on the highway.
Did you hear that line, where sex and love no longer gel? Where does that happen? It happens when sex is used as punishment, and when what should be a union between a male and a female consenting adult upon the bed of covenant is done by aggressors for diabolical control. Did you hear that the Pope just said this week that homosexuality is not a sin? Could there be any greater ignorance of the Bible? One might ask if the Pope even had a Bible. The fact is, the papacy has stood in the way of the Bible for all these centuries since the advent of the printing press and of the Reformation. Let's go back to what Paul Hutchinson has to say. And after that, my apology.
You can lead your family to a place of safety, and you can help people heal before they ever pass that trauma on to somebody else. And that's really the key to the riddle, is if we can help people heal before they get to a place later in their life where all of that pain of their own childhood trauma starts bubbling up. And realize that 2 out of every 3 people who dealt with childhood abuse become, they're good husbands, they're good fathers, they're able to work through their issues, and God bless them, they never, ever, ever pass that trauma on to a child. But 1 out of every 3 people who have dealt with child abuse themselves become contact offenders if they don't get the help they need.
Gosh.
This will piss a couple people off, but that's okay. People ask me, Paul, how can you go face to face so many times with people selling children and not have them see the anger in your eyes?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And my
answer surprises them. I said, because I got to the point where I actually felt some compassion for it. Well, how can you feel compassion for them? You know, they're selling you a child. No, I will do everything in my power to ensure they never hurt or touch another child again. But the thing I wish more than anything is that I had a time machine and I could go back a year or 5 years or 10 years before they ever, ever traumatized a child like that. There's no justification for what happened there. However, if we could go back 10 years and help those people recover, before they ever pass that trauma on, we would have saved millions of children from going through that. So, of course, we don't have a time machine, but what we do have is the knowledge that there is hundreds of millions of people on Earth right now who have dealt with massive amounts of childhood trauma themselves that eventually will pass that trauma on if they don't get the help that they need.
But is that, let me ask you,
from that,
on that point, Paul, I mean, perhaps you need to educate me about this, but is it really such a direct correlation that someone like a young male who was sexually abused as a child, I think you said 1 out of 3 is eventually going to translate into that person abusing another child. Is that really the number one cause of child sex trafficking and pedophilia? Is trauma?
For a long time, I pointed the finger at pornography. Anytime that we take a woman from a divine feminine to an object, then you start going down a dark road. Now, pretty much everybody listening to this and watching this has seen pornography. Just because you've seen pornography doesn't mean you're going to become a pedophile. But every single one of these guys had started out with a hardcore addiction. Something harder. What happened is they had this addiction. They like a hardcore drug. They needed something harder to have that same fix, right? And for some of them, harder was rape videos and more grotesque. Other people, it was a little bit younger. Pretty soon they're fantasizing about something they wouldn't have even thought was attractive 5 years ago. And then they're acting out on these horrific fantasies. And so I was pointing the finger at that. I was like, okay, how do we fix that? We got to take away porn. It's a cultural thing across the board, not only pornography and making that so that it's okay and easily accessible to everybody, but what we're seeing in Hollywood, what we're seeing on with things like Cuties, crap like that that's coming out that's desensitizing us. But even that, we have to go back and say, where is all of this coming from?
For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. We are in Isaiah 26 today, and that was the final verse. Your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, which pertains to the final sacking of Rome, where it will be defiled and inhabited no more, is 26:6. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The Lord's humble servants will destroy this city, described in verse 5 as the lofty city. And it says that the Lord, he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. Now the crimes of the wealthy and powerful are being disclosed. In accordance with verse 21, the earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. The evidence of the crimes committed in their adherence to the Church of Rome, this vine of Sodom, will be disclosed. And the magic covering is discussed in chapter 25 and 7. And he, the Lord, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. Verse 9, this is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. 26:8, yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. We've waited on the Lord to judge these matters. We've waited on him to rise up and execute his justice. Verse 9, for when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. The inhabitants of my little village are learning righteousness as the wicked are being killed. Two separate shootouts occurred this very week. The first three sicarios were killed in the gun battle. Then later, down the street, 10 more cartel operators were exterminated by gunfire, to include one of the famous sicarios, or lady assassins of Mexico. And what do the righteous do when the wicked are shot down and bleeding to death? It's right here in 25:6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. While Rome burns, we're going to party like it's 1999. That is why I feel no pressure to cease as I continue to, by prophecy, hasten the day. The church people gazed at me in awe and horror as I paced through the Proverbs, preaching that the wicked will die. Yet the very next week, right in my backyard, is a baker's dozen body bags lying where the wicked before had stood. Sunday night, as I'm recording this, I stepped outside to take a short break, and two pistol shots rang out, and I'm talking not a block away, not a half a block, right around the neighboring house. The traffickers are not a myth for me. They're right around the corner. But this is where I have to broadcast from. If I were on American soil, the alphabet soup would have shut me down long ago. And why? Because I've reported on trafficking. So where I've been critical of the Sound of Freedom movement, part of it is, number one, y'all are part of the problem. What, the FBI, the DOJ, Homeland Security, the greatest human trafficking army in the world, and the State Department? Those are the good guys now? Listen, those are the enemies that are trafficking humans all around the world. I'm going to return to that because there's much more to say. But number two, I've been critical because the real problem has not even been identified until now. And this is where Paul Hutchinson deserves an apology from me. Because even though it wound up on the cutting room floor, even though we have to rebroadcast it through the miracle and magic of shortwave to break through all of the news blackouts, Mr. Hutchinson has hit the nail on the head. He has identified the problem, child sexual abuse, and that it is statistically proven that victims of child sexual abuse very often become abusers themselves and perpetrate the cycle. Just like the bumper sticker used to say, homosexuals reproduce by molesting boys. I have been waiting in exile for over 2 years for a movement to begin where people actually acknowledge that incest is the root of all of this confusion in the world today. The gender confusion, the attraction confusion, and crime, crime, crime. And for that, Paul Hutchinson deserves some accolades, some applause, and from me, an apology, because someone has come out and hit the nail on the head. I'm going to let that apology sink in for just a moment and segue just a little bit. I've made many powerful friends high up in military agencies and law enforcement, education, and government in Mexico. But I tried to make friends with one and it just didn't work out very well. And this lady had literally written the book on child kidnapping. We were working on the same things. We had a great deal in common. In fact, I was so frustrated by the fact that she was cold and there seemed to be no explanation for it. I had to pray, and here's what the Lord said. Nobody cares about this child kidnapping. Nobody cares about child abuse unless they have skin in the game. And I said, what, Lord? And the Spirit of the Lord said, she's a victim. She hates men. So I challenged the Lord on this. I mean, he's always up for a good debate, right? He invites us to bring our strong reasoning. I said, Father, I care about the kids. I care about the victims of abuse. And the Lord said, you didn't used to until you married a monarch multiple, a victim of mind control and generational satanic ritual abuse. And still, it took years for you to figure it out. Okay, friends, there's still so much more to say. We'll pick it up after the break with more on Tim Ballard, Jim Caviezel, and perhaps Mexico's next president, Eduardo Verástegui. Wanted, young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert horsemen willing to risk death daily, orphans preferred. That was the text of the old Pony Express ad pasted to signposts in St. Joseph, Missouri. Such were the pioneers that made our nation great, from sea to shining sea. Today, also, God is looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few pistol-packing mamas. And I invite you to be among that number, to support your local gunfighter, to help us to broadcast. I want to be your pastor, and I want to be your missionary. Send me a prayer request. Send me a letter. Send me a dollar. You can also do it online at gospelgunslingers.com. Tell me your thoughts that you would like broadcast on the airwaves all the way to Antarctica.
My mailing address is Pastor Sam Honnold, H-O-N-N-O-L-D, 7107 South Yale Avenue, number 434, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74136, USA. Let's be brothers in arms. I covet your friendship. Let's be fellow soldiers struggling for our free hemisphere. I cannot be out here on the cutting edge without you. I'm a refugee. I have left all. I am on the front lines, and like the United States military, for every soldier out shooting his gun, even a soldier who's not elite, even a soldier who's not on the cutting edge, have 17 soldiers behind him, cooking, loading trucks, driving trucks, flying planes, fueling vehicles. The apostle writes of the support structure in the Lord's army when he says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges?" In 1 Corinthians 9:7, the apostle is stating that the soldier on the front lines needs his brothers and sisters behind him. Would you do that for your brother Sam? Would you help me to stay on the air? Would you write out an envelope, write me a note, put in a few colones or quetzales, some Mexican or Argentine pesos or any of the pesos of the world, or send me some American dollars while they're still worth something? Someday very soon they won't be. But above all, I want your inscription. I want your enlistment. I want you to take up the sword. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take up the sword. Uncle Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers want you. Orphans Preferred.
This will piss a couple people off, but that's okay. People ask me, Paul, how can you go face to face so many times with people selling children and not have them see the anger in your eyes?
Yeah, that's a really good answer question. And my
answer surprises them.
Leon Phelps.
If you have a romantic query and you are under the age of 50, and you're not freaky or disgusting, please give us a call.
The Ladies' Man.
Barney, is that you?
Do you have a man in there with you?
Listen, baby, that was cool, but I gotta go.
That was Tim Meadows' portrayal of Leon Phelps, the Ladies' Man, from the year 2000, alongside of Will Ferrell. Later on, the most macho character in the whole movie asks counsel Leon Phelps, Ladies' Man, to which Leon says, "Well, first of all, you're obviously gay."
Before I start answering these questions, let me ask a few more. Why did Carne, the most aggressive and violent of the traffickers, get brutally murdered in prison? Because all those cons, all those prisoners got set on their wayward life of crime when they were boy victims. And when a representative of the abuser class comes in, it's time to settle the score in their book. Pancho Villa, the Mexican revolutionary and hero, did the same thing. The great general couldn't defend himself when he was a little boy, but he grew into a mustachioed revolutionary and made a point to settle the score. The oral history is that there were pedophile priests hanging dead from every lamppost in Chihuahua Capital, hanging dead with streams of blood running down their bare legs because they were strung up with no pants and no balls. Tim Ballard was eye to eye with a suspicious serial pedophile who had been many years in the life, and Ballard convinced him that he was secretly a pedophile, that he was one of them. I don't think that it was his acting skills. No, Tim Ballard's got skin in the game, not because he's got his own children and reasons, as he claims. This kid's 7 years old. I have a 7-year-old. That could have been my kid. No, the kid it could have been was him, because the kid it was him. And soon, like my Senator Joni Ernst, he'll be big enough to admit to it being a victim, I believe.
You know there's just as many jokes about Utah as Arkansas incest, right? So here's one. The prophet said, "How do you like your women?" And he said, bring them young.
The famous Brigham Young and namesake of BYU was third in command of the Mormon Church in Nauvoo, Illinois, but in 1844, when the Gospel Gunslingers of the Mississippi Valley executed Joseph Smith and his brother Hiram,
Brigham Young was reckoned as the prophet of that sect and led the Mormon trek as his people were run out of the Mississippi Valley on a rail. As they trekked across Iowa, Brigham Young reportedly was caught boasting about his two wives, to which the Midwestern Lutheran replied, "Two wives? Isn't that polygamy?" And Brigham Young patted his puffed-up chest and retorted, "I thought it was rather bigamy." I gotta twist the knife a little to ram my point home, and I already told you all that I have skin in the game, that this cost me my prophetess. And that rage, the proverb says, is unquenchable, though you offer many gifts, he will not spare. Mr. Hutchinson, I observe that you also have skin in the game. And I repeat that the whole purpose of the Living by the Sword program is to reach out, for the oppressed to rise up, for the captives to be loosed and freed, for the poor and the needy to rise up and crush the world government as we covered in our daily verse. Let's go back to Brittany and Will I Am, this one from 2012. Brittany was okay with everybody looking at her back then. She was okay being the tiny dancer. She was okay being the center of attention and a program multiple Barbie doll sex kitten plaything. Still, scream and shout. It's a cry for help.
Bring the action.
When you hear this in the club, you gotta turn the shit up. You gotta turn the shit up. You gotta turn the shit up. When we up in the club, all eyes on us. All eyes on us. All eyes on us. See the boys in the club, they watching us. They watching us. They watching us. Everybody in the club, all eyes on us. All eyes on us. All eyes on us.
I wanna scream and shout and let it all out. And scream and shout and let it out. We saying oh, we oh, we oh, we oh. We saying oh, we oh, we oh, we oh. I wanna scream and shout and let it all out. And scream and shout and let it out. We saying oh, we oh, we oh, we oh.
Now rockin' with Will I Am and
Brittany, bitch.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Bring the action.
Rock and roll, everybody, let's lose control. All the bottom, we let it go. Going fast, we ain't going slow. No, no. Hear the beat, now let's hit the flow. Drink it up and then drink some more. Light it up and let's let it blow, blow, blow. Hey, yo, rock it out, rock it now. If you know what we talking about, burn it up and burn down the house, half, half. Hey, yo, turn it up and gon' turn it down. Here we gon' shake the ground. Cause everywhere that we go, we
bring the action.
When you hear this in the club, you gotta turn the shit up. You gotta turn the shit up. You gotta turn the shit up. When we up in the club, all eyes on us. All eyes on us. All eyes on us.
You see them girls in the club, they looking at us. They looking at us. They looking at us.
Everybody in the club, all eyes on us. All eyes on us. All eyes on us.
I wanna scream and shout and let it all out. And scream and shout and let it out. We sayin' oh, we oh, we oh, we oh. We sayin' oh, we oh, we oh, we oh. I wanna scream and shout and let it all out. And scream and shout and let it out. We sayin' oh, we oh, we oh, we oh.
Now rockin' with Will I Am and
Brittany, bitch.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It goes on and on and on and on. When me and you party together, I wish this night would last forever. Cause I was feeling down, now I'm feeling better. And maybe it goes on and on and on and on. When me and you party together, I would.
I wanna scream and shout and let it all out. And scream and shout and let it out. We saying oh we oh we oh we oh. We saying oh we oh we oh we oh. I wanna scream and shout and let it all out. And scream and shout and let it out. We saying oh we oh we oh we oh. And shout and let it all out. And scream and shout and let it out. We say no.
I'm going to make some generalizations. I'm going to start with the one that I can prove, and for the rest, well, I would invite you to disprove my assertions. The question is this: who are the monarch multiples? Beautiful human beings created in God's image that have been intentionally fragmented. Their personalities, rather than being biblically formed with affection and discipline, were fragmented. Then those personality fragments programmed and often demonized. So who are the monarch multiples? First of all of our lady gymnasts, at least the good ones, this is why USA Gymnastics has been completely dismantled by my Senator Joni Ernst. This is why $500 million was ordered to be paid to over 200 plaintiffs. And this did not begin just yesterday. It goes all the way back to 1978, when the first world title by a USA female gymnast was won by Marcia Frederick, who admits that she was abused by her coach who came from the Eastern Bloc. I believe that this point has been abundantly proven, that all the USA female gymnasts at the high levels are sexually traumatized monarch multiples. Beauty pageant contestants, I'll just tell you, SRA is rampant among them, endemic even. Prove me wrong, prove me wrong. I answered by prophecy. Someone asked me, and this was years ago, Sam, how bad is the problem of incest and child sexual abuse in the United States? I didn't say, like Paul said, 1 in 4. 1 in 5. I put my finger in the air, and there was a prophetic swirl, and the gift began to operate by the Holy Spirit of God. And this is what I said. What's that show on TV? 19 kids and counting. Who's that family? The Duggars. At that moment, I remembered their name. This family lived a televised, separated, ostensibly very Christian life, away from corrupting influences like public schools. Nevertheless, the prophetic utterance continued. It will be found there. At that time, there was no hint at all of any wrongdoing within that family. But the scandals, a year later, began to break. Now we know that there was widespread incest both within that family and outside. And one of the Duggar boys is doing a lengthy federal sentence for child pornography and repeat offenses. Who else has programmed multiples? The alphabet soup. We're going to cover actors more. So many actors and actresses. Why do you think John Voight is such a vocal proponent of Donald Trump and his policies? Because he saw the horrible cost that was extracted when he gave over his daughter Angie, Angelina Jolie, to the meat grinder of the film industry. But we'll come back to actors and actresses. The alphabet soup is absolutely chock full of program multiples. It is full of them to the lid. There are screening processes to determine a candidate's susceptibility to dissociation, and an immediate preferential treatment is given to candidates who grew up in the vine of Sodom in the Catholic Church. I have more to say about Caviezel, who I'm very mad at, and Verástegui. There's hope for you guys, and let me tell you, Mexico needs some good presidential candidates right now, so we'll talk about that. What other groups are pretty much always dissociative? This may be a shock. Navy SEALs. Navy SEALs. They're all drowned to death in their training repeatedly until they get to the point where they like it. It's scary enough just being choked, but the fact is, within seconds, blackout occurs. There's not really time for the terror to set in. The programming does not require sexual-based trauma. That's just the most effective, especially on children and grown men, and even for a woman. One of the most horrific things that can happen in the life of a woman is rape. I'll say that in the case of the Navy SEAL, their programming in training is generally not sex-based trauma. But back in the day, they did used to drop anchor at Subic Bay and take little field trips into Olongapo. And any sailor that ever went to Olongapo, I'll tell you, they came back with a demonic connection from those dog and pony shows. Deny it, knuckle draggers. I dare ya. Thank you for your service. But I'm disappointed in the government that you served that they have suscepted our young men to trauma-based mind control by drowning and other means. How many decades does this go back? I would like to know. In the case of Marsha Frederick, 4.5. It's been 33 years since the movie Navy SEALs, and who starred in that? A monarch multiple, if there ever was one, Charlie Sheen, who as an adult and an older man became a basket case of sexual deviancy. I like Charlie Sheen, and I like Martin Sheen. I like their roles in Wall Street, and Martin Sheen's Apocalypse Now is a classic for the ages and always an inspiration to me, even though that character is obviously loony and shell-shocked. This family bears the name of the original Catholic televangelist in his honor. Martin Sheen took the name Sheen for his screen name to honor Bishop J. Fulton Sheen, who was the Catholic answer to Oral Roberts, that great ambassador for healing by the Holy Ghost of God and liberty from demons, as he cast many demons out in his very public gatherings. Let's play Yellow Brick Road. The Magnum Opus by Elton John, Sir Elton John, written by his very close friend Bernard John Taupin. They were the same age. I think they were both born in 1950. They were both swept up in the jolly English celebrity meat grinder of their age, the 1960s. This is from Elton John's American Farewell Tour, his final performance on U.S. soil in 2022. At Dodger Stadium, and I just want you to not only listen to his heart and the well-known monarch programming template, Wizard of Oz, but his lyrics written when he was a young man. You can't plant me in your penthouse. I'm going back to my plow. I should have listened to my old man. I should have stayed on the farm. I'm not a present for your friends to open. Elton John was the little girl princess. He was the little boy teddy bear. Let's listen to Elton sing it for the very last time.
Farewell.
When are you gonna come down? When are you going to land? Should have stayed on the farm. Should have listened to my old man. You know you can't hold me forever. Didn't sign up with you. I'm not a present for your friend to open. This boy's too young to be singing the blues. Take you a couple of vodka and tonic to set you on your feet again. Oh, maybe you get a replacement. Better like me to be found. Mongrels who ain't got a penny, sniffing for tips like you on the ground. Oh, oh, oh. So goodbye, yellow brick road, where the dogs out society howl. You can't block me in your PayPal. Going back to my plow. Back to the heaven, oh, out in the wood, on the honeyback toad. Oh, I find a little side of my future lies beyond the elephant road. Oh,
and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That is from Peter's famous speech on the day of Pentecost. It's in the second chapter of the book of Acts. This is what Elton John was trying to do, trying to sound the alarm since the 1970s. God bless the survivors that are trying to save themselves from this untoward generation and prevent a repetition of what has happened in these generations. You are welcome in the community of Christ. We will gladly receive those who gladly receive the word of God. The next verse, 41, continues. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. We are going to win. In this very same passage, the apostle quotes Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Verse 35, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Do you know that the foes and the haters of the Lord are going to be made the Lord's footstool, and they will be trodden down under our feet, according to Romans 16:20? Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The first step to your recovery, if you are a survivor of this kind of abuse, is to repent for your part in the vine of Sodom, to repent and to be baptized in water by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus. You don't need a super apostle to be there. You can just fill up your tub. You can baptize yourself in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I recommend that you do that tonight. Even if you see yourself as a Christian or a churchgoer, just do it. Take the plunge, literally, and see if God does not do it. Fantastic work and a circumcision of the heart and changes your inner man and begins to reintegrate you. And then you need to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It helps to find some believers to lay hands on you and to pray with you to receive the Holy Spirit and your prayer language. This is the gateway to enter into the grace of God and the power of God to drive out devils in the name of Jesus, to move in prophecy and the gift, the charismata of discerning of spirits. In Sound of Freedom and the commentaries about it, several times this phrase has come up. You need to use discernment. You need to develop discernment. What are we talking about? Women's intuition here? Are we talking about gaydar? How about we get the gift of the Holy Ghost to operate in prophecy and in discerning of spirits? It's in 1 Corinthians 12 and 10. It's one of the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost, and you can receive it. If you're baptized in water in the name of Jesus, you get a new heart, and you get filled with the Holy Ghost. This gift is on the table for you to know the desires of people's hearts and the spirits that drive them. You will not get the gift another way, no matter how much time Jim Caviezel spends in the monastery. I want to address Eduardo Verástegui, El Tamaulipeco. Mr. Verástegui, I'm really amazed and shocked at how much personal effort you have put in, even showing this film to 20 governors of Mexico individually in separate watch parties in their own capital cities. That is stunning, and it is admirable. Like many Mexican Americans, I find that it falls on me to inform you of what has been going on in Mexico, especially these recent years under President AMLO. You know he disbanded the federal police, right? That he did what Trump could not or would not do. Trump never disbanded the FBI, but President López Obrador did. And why did he disband the famous Polinegros nationwide? Because they were trafficking children. Over and above drugs, bribes, and a few other rackets. They were trafficking in children, and the president of Mexico was not about to have it. I don't want to hear how the government of Mexico is the same as it always was. I hope you have a good meeting with President Nayib Bukele. I am a big fan of Nayib Bukele. I've followed him since the first days of his presidency when he invited the Christian evangelist Dante Gebel to give the invocation and to pray for the nation of El Salvador and to lead the nation of El Salvador in a national repentance from idolatry and criminal activity. Bukele disincluded the Catholic clergy that would normally preside over such a ceremony in the central plaza of San Salvador. Let's talk about the right and the left. The news media says that Bukele is ultraderechista, that he is a super far right, that he's ultra right and alt right. The fact is, Nayib Bukele comes from the left. He came up in the socialist movements, openly communist movements and communist parties, and finally, at the very last moment, broke from that and won the presidency. And like Lenin Moreno, the great president of Ecuador, took the nation in a completely new direction. Admiral Craig Faller, the former head of Southcom, said this was going to happen when he took power. He said he's going to put Marino Monroy, the admiral who is trained at the U.S. Naval War College, he's going to put him over the military, and they're going to crack down on crime, and it's going to be a beautiful place. I didn't believe it at the time, but this is how they turned their nation around. They turned to the Lord Jesus, and they had a tough hand on crime, prosecuting crimes like sex trafficking. Who's more into that than MS-13, Mara Salvatrucha, and Sur 18, the famed gangs of El Salvador that were actually cultivated in the United States prison system? The whole left-right paradigm is so broken down. The party that you appear to be endorsing in Mexico, the PAN, was for a long time the liberal wing party against the PRI, which was the conservative, supposedly right-hand party. Of course, they were both rife with corruption, and this is where López Obrador and Trump found that they had common ground in fighting corruption and fighting crime, no matter which side of the aisle it's found on. The PRI and the PAN were for decades in Mexico as bitter of rivals as the Democrats and the Republicans in the USA, and as harshly divided along ideological lines. And now they're united against AMLO's government because he's actually fighting crime and dissolving parts of the ancient government bureaucracy that are trafficking children and taking bribes. Two questions for you, Mr. Verástegui. Are you related to Cesar Truco Verástegui, the gubernatorial candidate that was handpicked by Cabeza de Vaca to be his successor as Tamaulipas governor and head of the Gulf Cartel? You said you had viewing parties with 20 of the governors of Mexico. Did you have a viewing party with Tamaulipas ex-governor Francisco Javier García Cabeza de Vaca, the biggest human drug trafficker and huachicolero in all of Mexico? Did he convince you, like he convinced Simon Reeves of BBC World, that he is being very tough on crime, that they're doing all they can to fight the crime, when in reality he is the head of it? I welcome you, Eduardo Verástegui, to enter into the Mexican presidential race on the blue side, the PRIAN side, the alliance PRI, PAN, and PRD, which we currently call El Perderé. Because Mexicans that believe in the historic values of those parties, they don't have a choice, and they don't really have a voice at the election until somebody steps up on that side of the aisle who's not going to be a total corrupt criminal and run a criminal syndicate like Enrique Peña Nieto, who took a $100 million bribe to leave El Chapo's operation alone and protect it. An operation involving vast numbers of human mules trafficking drugs and trafficking of human beings. This is the problem, working with survivors and welcoming survivors into our movement, Mr. Verástegui, is that the enemy has its hooks into you. That like any enemy intelligence operator, you can be recalled, you can be reprogrammed, you can in a moment morph back into Mr. Smith.
The circuit riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.